Welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review. Our several-year mission will be to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. We will be reviewing every Star Trek comic book ever published. These stories have been released by Gold Key, Marvel, DC, Malibu, Wildstorm, Tokyo Press, IDW, and others. Star Trek and all that the Star Trek universe contains is copyrighted by CBS Studios, Inc.
Hello and welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review presents with Donovan and Ken, episode number 445, recorded February 16th, 2025.
Today we're doing something a little different that we haven't done very often when we do these presents, and that's actually finish one of the miniseries. So usually we like read the first two issues and then never come back to it, but here we go. Issue 5 and 6 of the Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica.
Yep. And when we began this, we weren't 100% sure if we were going to go beyond the first two. But, Peter David, pretty good story. They teed it up well. So you really want, I think we were both wondering what the heck was going on with this. And now we know. Now we know.
Yep.
Not to say that there aren't some minor imperfections in the story, but overall, it was quite good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. The artwork is the only part that I would have a complaint about.
Yeah, we'll try not to repeat ourselves too much, but there's definitely some things that must be said about the artwork. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go into 5.
Great. Okay, I am doing issue 5. Publish date, May 2018. Writer, Peter David. Artist, Edumina. Colorist, Mohan. Letterer, Taylor Esposito. 4 different editors continue to be, I'll just say them, Joe Rybrandt, Matt Idelson, Anthony Marquis, and Kevin Kettner. Okay, we got 7 covers. I think it was 7. Cover A presents a very cool drawing. I gotta say, talk about artwork. I love the Adam Lebowitz covers, which are very ship-oriented in battle and whatever. So we have a very cool drawing of 8 different Vipers in attack formation, and one of them is firing behind another one that you see a good close-up look, and we'll find out what's going on as we get more into it. But it's very cool. And in the background is either a big explosion or maybe a sun. It must have been a sun or something. But it kind of looks like an explosion. Anyway, it casts a cool red, yellow, tint on everything. Very cool. Cover B is split in half diagonally, with each half featuring colonial warrior pilots intensely in the throes of battle. And it looks like it's very likely the 2 Starbucks in their space helmets. They're both blonde, and one's a lady, and I definitely think it's the Starbucks, the different Starbucks. And that was done by Johnny D. Hardines and Mohan. Cover C presents 2 Starbuck action figures in pegboard packaging. Michael Adams, another great job on those little toy things. Cover D presents a drawing of the 2 Starbucks. This is Starbuck time. The male Starbuck is a reasonably good drawing that looks a bit like Dirk Benedict, and he's holding an awful-looking blaster. It does not look like the blaster on the show. And then the Lady Starbuck drawing is nice, but it looks nothing like Katie Sackhoff. And it looks like she's holding some kind of shotgun or something. That was never on the TV show. Anyway, that was by Roberto Castro and Alex Grimares. And of course, you've got one of the battle stars in the background. Cover E is the black and white version of cover D. Cover F is the black and white version of cover B. And cover G presents the virgin version of cover A, which is also by Adam Lebowitz. Lizard Lady Callie is back on the Pegasus and speaking to Kane, who has the face of Lauren Green. She says her deception went better than she could have expected. Kane tells her of Sheba questioning him about her suspicions. The traitorous nerve of her. He had to throw her in the brig. Callie retires to her quarters, where Count Iblis is waiting for her. They embrace and kiss like lovers. Iblis tells Callie of his success on the base star. The technology she found on that world of hers raised his powers of influence to the next level. He was able to get the humanoid Cylons to kneel by just ordering them to. He can control all but the strongest and aggressive minds now. Callie tells him of her deceit when she told Kane and others it was her former mate that created the Cylons, when it was actually her who did it. The weak fools wanted to shut the Cylons down rather than using them to conquer everything. Iblis says the humanoid skin jobs in this place are the ultimate evolution of the Cylons. He will influence them to attack and triumph over all that stand in their way. The Cylons' victory will be their victory. Cut to the reboot Galactica, where Admiral Adama is being told that Commander Adama is demanding that Boomer be turned over to them for questioning. The Admiral instructs his comms officer to reply that they will not be able to accommodate that request. The connection is closed, and the Admiral tells Colonel Ty to scramble Vipers. In the flight bay, Lee Adama tells his pilots that the Admiral ordered Omega Protocol. The pilots are confused, but they scramble to their Vipers. Boomer tells Lee she will give herself up to them, but Lee says no and grounds her to keep her from flying over to the other battle star and ending this. The TOS Galactica sends across a shuttle to pick up Boomer, followed by a squad of TOS Vipers. The reboot Galactica's Vipers come out to meet them. The two sets of Vipers fly around each other, but somehow keep missing. It's like they are purposely not trying to damage each other. Meanwhile, on the Pegasus, Sheba plays the oldest trick in the book on her two guards. When they enter the cell to see what is wrong with her, she kicks one of them in the nuts, grabs his gun, and shoots the other guard in the shoulder. Sheba gets off the floor, and with a determined look, she tells them it's time to find out what the frack happened to her father. To be continued in the grand finale.
So of the few issues or episodes I've watched of Classic here recently, I really like Sheba. I don't know why. I really like her character.
Yeah, I, to be quite frank, I don't remember her that much. And I haven't gone back and rewatched the any episodes, which I probably should have.
Right.
So. Yeah, I remember she was fine. You know? I just don't remember a lot of details.
I'm with you. Before we started doing this issues, I didn't remember her at all. So I'm going back and rewatching just random episodes, and she's in, you know, the one she's in. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did not remember her at all. I didn't remember the whole Lloyd Bridges thing. I guess I just kind of blocked it all out. But it has been like 25 years since I watched it, and I never rewatched it or watched it religiously like I did, you know, Star Trek and stuff. So,
yeah,
I guess that explains why I don't remember it that well.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it when I was a kid and I saw it the first time around, but it was only one season, which you reminded me of. Only one season. One season, really? That's it? It was only one season, and it just wasn't that good. It was good, but it wasn't that good.
Yeah, and it was a little expensive for them to make, even though...
Yes, it was.
Even though watching it now, you're like, oh, it looks so cheesy. But, I mean, it still holds up pretty well, I think. I mean, I'm really enjoying the issues or the episodes I've been watching.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think... Did they actually get Industrial Light Magic to do the ships and everything? Or did somebody else do it?
I think it was somebody else, but it was somebody that had worked at ILM at the beginning.
Okay, so John Dykstra, I think, Well, anyway, the guy who was in charge of the Star Wars special effects, he came over and did this, but it wasn't Industrial Light and Magic. I guess that was
exactly
it.
Right.
But I mean, the quality of the fights, I mean, they use the same, I'm sure you noticed this, but they use the same clips over and over again.
But, yes.
But the quality of those clips was very high.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time in every episode launching out of the bay doors, and he's just like, oh, I've seen it. Yeah, I know what's going to happen. You're going to press the button, get kind of pushed back to your seat, fly. But we got to see it every week.
Exactly.
But as a kid, I'm sure that's the parts that I as you know, a little 4-year-old or whatever, watching it, that's what I wanted to watch. I wanted to watch them fly around and shoot Cylons.
Sure. And it's really funny because, I mean, they did that like almost every episode, right?
Every episode, not almost.
Oh, did they do it every episode? Did they do it every episode? Okay, it's fine. But in the reboot, they hardly ever did that. I mean, they did it, but it wasn't, it was much more infrequent. And then they'd actually have a lot more variety to the, to how the space battles went.
Right.
And the quality was awesome. I mean, really good special effects. I mean, on a TV budget, it just looked very realistic to me.
Yeah. Anyway. And I love those camera angles where it was like just a random zoom in.
Exactly.
There was the cameraman really out there just kind of trying to keep up with the battle. Yeah, it was good.
Exactly. Good, and it would like zoom in on something really cool, or it would pan left really quick, like it's a person's head, as opposed to you know, just the normal still camera, third person view. Anyway. Okay. So the other shoe drops. Iblis and Callie are working together, which we were kind of theorizing. Well, at the very least, we were questioning, are they related? I mean, are they working together? Maybe. Didn't we?
Right.
I think we did.
I think we did.
But the idea that they are lovers, that was not expected. I was not expecting that.
Well, I did say that, what if he's her husband?
Oh.
And because she kept talking about her husband, and I was like, well, what if it's Iblis? And you were like, oh, no, Iblis is the devil. So I'm like, okay.
Well, he's the devil, and he's not, you know, he's not these lizard people.
Right.
Is he? No.
So, no, he's not.
Even in his desert, or even in his evil Satan form, he looks like a goat.
Yeah,
he does not look like a lizard guy.
Right. No, but they definitely know each other, and they must be friendly, because she is very happy to see him and swoons in his arms and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
And like we kind of questioned before we started the recording, is some of that in Iblis's powers of persuasion?
Right.
Because he was always able to persuade people in the TV, TV episodes and TOS. And then now he's saying, oh, my abilities are to the next level after whatever technology was able to be applied to himself.
Right.
So is he using that on her, or
I don't know, or is she just, are they really, they're really that close? Yeah, good point.
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of took it that they were really together.
Yeah, so she digs John Steed, so there you go.
I forgot that he was John Steed. I even watching the episodes, I can't see John Steed in there.
Really? Face.
Yeah, watching it, I was just like, man, he looks like Liberace. And it's kind of implied that he and Cassiopeia get close, if you know what I'm saying. And I'm like, this is worse than her being with Lloyd Bridges. It's just like,
well,
it's ooky.
She's older guys.
Yeah, she must. Or the writers. The writers must really like the older guy thing. Maybe it was some sort of wish from helmet. Like, oh, young ladies like us. I'm going to keep writing it in.
Oh, how wrong you are.
So. So yeah, no, I keep forgetting John Steed, not Liberace. Gotcha.
Well, if you want to call him Liberace, that's fine.
It is funny. Just speaking of actors, so I watched the episode, and then at the end of the credits, they have, you know, the guest stars or whatever mm-hmm. that didn't make the opening little montage of people. And in the credits, it said Kirk Allen as the old man. And I was just like, Kirk Allen?
Who's Kirk Allen?
Kirk Allen is the original Superman. He played Superman in the original serials, the movie serials. Really? Yeah. Wow. And he also played Blackhawk in the serials. I mean, so I was like, oh, maybe it's a different Kirk Allen. But I mean, he's old man, and this is the late 70s, so he definitely would fit the age. And I looked it up, and it was him, but I cannot find which old man in the episode he is. Like, I went to all the Battlestar Galactica wikis, and all they had was, you know, they would have a reference to Kirk Allen, and it would show Superman. And then it would just say, oh, he also played old man in these two episodes. And I'm like,
did you happen to go into IMDb or something like that and
look
for pictures of Kirk Allen when he was older?
Well, I know what he looks like when he's older.
Oh, because
he was in Superman the movie with Christopher Reeve.
Okay,
he played Lois.
When you went back and looked,
I still can't figure out who he is. Nope.
Okay.
But now that I know that, I'm gonna go back and kind of maybe fast forward and watch the episode again. And there's a couple of scenes with like some people at a table, and I'm like, he must be one of those old guys. But I was just happy. Kirk Allen, kind of cool.
He was getting work. That's good. Yeah,
good for him. Anyways.
Okay. So back to Iblis and Callie. Mm-hmm. So I especially like as they're kissing and stuff and they're kind of cuddling and she says, you smell wonderful, which I thought was an odd thing. And then he just says, I tend to, yes. It's like, oh my God, this guy's got an ego. And it's like, what an interesting thing for her to say. So that even more kind of tells me that, you know, he's got some kind of pheromone or something. Yeah. Somehow he's using his abilities to manipulate her. But
that would explain why all the girls would fall in love with him in the show.
Oh,
like even like Sheba and stuff.
That's what happened.
Like, well, they kind of acted like, you know, he had some sort of control over them, but
right.
Cassiopeia is the only one where they kind of implied
they did.
They were more than just looking at each other, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. There you go. And you know, maybe this is Peter David theorizing or throwing it out there. Maybe it's pheromones or something.
Right.
The basis of his ability to persuade people. I don't know.
Maybe.
So they've got the Pegasus, which is a much more powerful battle star than the class that the Galacticas are.
Is it?
And
I know in the reboot it was, but in the old one was it?
Well, it was too. It was more advanced. I think. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I watched the episodes and I don't remember them ever saying that. And the model was the same. Well,
I thought it was a better, newer ship, more powerful ship. But
I know in the reboot
could be mixing it up in the reboot.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's just supposed to be the exact same.
Okay.
But anyways, go ahead.
And then now they've got this space star, at least one base star, who's under Iblis's influence now. So now it's two versus two, and they're going to try to get the two Galacticas to fight each other, to weaken them more.
Right.
Okay. So that's the game plan. An evil plan it is.
And I don't really understand her. Why is she wanting to do it? What is she getting out of this? I know that Iblis, maybe he's like retaliating since he was beaten the last time he went up against them, but I mean, is she doing it really because she created the Cylons and the Cylons have a war with them in both universes and she just wants to see her babies happy? What is her motivation?
Well, and I don't know that this is somehow Iblis's influence, but listen to her dialogue. I mean, she's saying, I mean, she's saying that she was the aggressive one, not her husband.
Right.
When they built the Cylons in the first place, she's talking like she wanted to take over everything using the Cylons. And so if that's what she wanted to do in the past, that apparently, I mean, she's apparently an aggressive, ambitious person.
Okay. So thousands of years ago, she created the Cylons and she just wants to see them take over. Okay.
Well, I think it's more that she wants to see herself take over. She wants power and she wants to do it through the Cylons.
Gotcha.
And I guess she's cool with sharing power with Iblis.
Well, especially of course, such a good smelling lover.
Ah. Yeah. And we'll see. So Iblis has already gotten the enhanced powers of persuasion that he got from the technology that she found.
Right. On that planet.
Right. So he's already got things cranked up and they're on the cusp of, at least for them, they want to weaken the Galacticas and they want to take them out and then go on to the next thing. But I'm just kind of wondering, what is Iblis getting out of her now at this point? I mean, maybe after she's able to influence, you know, people, the two Galacticas into fighting each other and weakening them. After that, what does she bring to the table?
Yeah.
Because Iblis can control the Cylons.
Right.
So what does he need her for?
Right.
I foresee a breakup. Eventually.
And how did Baltar fit into the whole thing? I mean, so he just showed up. He showed up from the other universe and, you know, because he's the big bad of that universe TV show. So, yeah,
until we met Iblis.
Yeah. So, I mean, but did Baltar, was he working with Iblis when he came over from the classic era? I'm still trying to figure out.
I don't recall that.
Right.
I don't know.
It's not said.
Yeah, well, okay, so when we get to the end of the next issue,
yeah,
there is a scene.
Right.
And maybe we can save it for then.
Yeah, save it for that. I mean, that's what I'm assuming happens at the very end, but I still don't get the motive. I don't see what. I can't ever figure out why he was involved in the story, other than they just wanted the two Baltars together for a second.
They wanted the two Baltars together. Yes, they wanted the two Adamas together. They wanted a lot of screen time for that. They wanted the two Baltars. Definitely a lot of screen time with the two Starbucks. Not so much with Apollo. Although they did have that Tom Sarek stuff going on.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah, I think in the end, if you think too much about it, I agree with you. There's no reason for Baltar to be there.
Right. Okay. So can we talk about the ships for a second? I know you love ships.
Love ships. Love ships.
I can definitely tell the two Battlestars apart. Mm-hmm. Classic and reboot.
Yes, they bothered. They bothered to draw them different.
But when it comes to the Vipers, I mean, I know they always kind of look alike, but I've never really had models of either one, so I've never, like, closely looked at the two of them. But here in the comic, it seems like they were drawn exactly the same.
No, you're right.
So it's not just me.
And they're using the reboot Vipers, because the reboot Vipers look very cool. So the original Vipers, Taw's Vipers, they look cool, but, you know, they were kind of channeling X-Wings.
Sure.
And they were very, simple and a little, you know, a lot of 90 degree angles on them. Where the reboot Vipers, and there were two different reboot Vipers, right? There were the really advanced ones, and then there were the older ones that looked a little bit like the Taw's Vipers.
So the older ones were in like the Blood and Chrome show?
No.
Or actually in the show itself.
Yes, in the reboot show, they had the Galactica, because the Galactica was basically a relic.
Right.
It was an older ship. It was going to be decommissioned and turned into a museum or something. And they had both the advanced, they had the old Vipers on board, and they also had the advanced ones. And the advanced ones were really cool looking. And they were like a gray color, so they weren't the red and white look of the older ones. So anyway, so the older ones were the ones that didn't have the fancy computers, so they couldn't be taken over by the Cylons. So that's why they end up using the old Vipers. And the old Vipers are very cool and sleek looking, but you're supposed to think of the original TOS Vipers. But physically there are differences. But general shape, they're very similar. Mm. But in this book, you never see a true TOS Viper. I don't recall ever seeing a true TOS Viper drawn in this 6-book series. I could be wrong, but I don't recall seeing them.
Right. All right. Yeah, because I spent a lot of time looking at these pictures and like, hey, they look the same. They look exactly the same.
And they shouldn't be. I mean,
yeah, they
shouldn't
be.
Because if you look at them side by side, you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I would think so.
You can definitely tell the difference. Oh, that looks kind of meh. And then this one looks cool.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I had the toys of the Cylons because I really liked those ships, and I didn't really. I mean, I had Star Wars toys, so I didn't need a fighter pilot. I didn't need the fighter from Battlestar.
Viper.
Yeah, I didn't need the Viper.
I like the Frisbee Cylon Raiders. Those look cool. I like those. Yep, and I had a model of that a couple times. And I had models a couple times of the Vipers, too.
Yeah. I will say, as far as the reboot goes, when they did the Cylons with the little crescent-shaped and the little Cylon head in the middle of it,
sure.
I at the time, I liked it. But over the years, that ship, to me, looks really stupid. To have a Cylon head in the middle of it just makes it look dumb.
Well, it looks like a Dyrodex, doesn't it? I mean, at least with the part that looks like a face.
Yeah, but it looks like they just took the old helmet and shoved it onto a ship. It just makes it look cheesy to me.
Well, I like it. And one of the things I like about it is the Cylon, the intelligence, everything. It is the ship.
Exactly.
So there's no... That makes so much sense.
Yeah, like in Star Wars, like the ships in Star Wars on the droid fighters were just droids, right? The ship itself was a droid. There was no pilot. And it's the same thing with the new rebooted Cylons, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think they need Cylon heads. No. We don't need to see the helmet on the ship, I don't think. To me, I liked it at the time. I thought it was really cool, but over the years, it's lost its allure to me. It just looks kind of cheesy now.
Oh, okay. Well,
I might be wrong. It's just my opinion.
No. This is personal preference.
Right.
This is all about personal preference. I think the design's pretty cool looking, just because there's a lot of detail to it, and the sweeping, you know, the talons coming forward.
Right.
Almost like sharp wings that are moved forward. I think that looks cool. And as far as the head, I didn't blink twice about it, because I'm kind of used to that from the Dyrodex from Star Trek. So,
but there's no helmet. It's not a helmet. It's not a face. I guess
it's a head,
like a bird head. I guess so.
Well, I don't know. Anyway,
but that's supposed to look like a bird. This is supposed to look like a Darth Vader looking
Cylon head, because it does kind of look like the reboot Cylon heads, right?
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, when it first came out, I loved it. I thought it was great. But then it's just kind of. But again, that's just me.
War
out,
it's welcome. It's welcome.
But yeah, during this firefight, I like I said, I didn't like that the ships looked the same, and I couldn't really figure out which one was classic and which one was reboot. You know, when they're supposed to be firing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really didn't like when the two Starbucks are playing chicken on each other. The picture of Kara when she's like screaming. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm assuming she's screaming. It just looks so weird. Like, I can't tell if she's happy or if she's
no, she's crazy.
Really thought she was gonna die again.
No. Okay, but you remember Kara was kind of a weird loose cannon, right? I mean, she was a hero and everything, but she was always kind of emo, sort of. She was always just a little crazy. And I thought the drawing of her face was perfect. And the idea that the male Starbuck, you know, would flinch first, because he was never crazy. There were times when Kara was crazy. And I think... I thought it was appropriate.
Okay. I just didn't remember that detail about her. So she really was trying to die again. Because she keeps talking about how,
well, I don't,
you know, I died once and I came back and I can't wait to go back. Yeah. So I thought it was just talk, but you're saying maybe I didn't remember her being crazy. Like literally
she's crazy.
Okay.
She's got this emotional thing, a self-destructive emotional thing, right?
Right.
I mean, she demonstrated that. And she was like the kind of character, and the fact that she was screwing around with Starbuck and her husband was there, another Viper pilot, is kind of her too. She was just like one of those people that like you don't want to get too involved with. As Lee found out as he carried a torch for her the entire series. Anyway. So how about, we got to bring up again. Okay, are we done with ships? We're now talking about people.
Sure.
Okay, so we got to bring it up again. Was it the fourth issue that started doing it? I don't know. It was fairly recent, but they're continuing to do it. They're drawing Kane exactly like a blonde-haired Adama.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Lauren Green always had, you know, the gray hair because he was older.
Right.
But it's Lauren Green's face with a blonde hair. And at least in this one, he's got a brown uniform on.
Right. Right. So at least Lloyd Bridges' character did have the brown uniform, but it didn't look like this. It had like shoulder pads and lace and stuff because he was so pompous or whatever.
Right.
But Lloyd Bridges was a very thin guy and blonde and not this body type and definitely not the face.
No, it's clearly Lauren Green in every way, shape, or form.
Except the hair. The color of the hair.
Yes, you're right. Except for the hair. And it just freaks me out.
It's so weird. And then not so much in this issue, but wait till the next issue. I think they even go further on mixing up the Adamas, who's supposed to be playing who. It's weird.
Right. Oh, last thing I want to say about the ships is the shuttle that they're flying coming out of the TOS Galactica is did they show that design before?
Not in the classic show. I think
definitely not in the classic show, but I'm just saying in the comic book series. Because I know
there
Lloyd
was a
Bridges...
weird shuttle in the last one.
Okay. And maybe this is just a different angle.
Right.
Because it's kind of like it's kind of like an offset from the front kind of thing where it's flying away from the Galactica. And maybe that looks like the ones we've seen before in this book series, but it just looks so different.
Right. It looks different.
Yeah.
It looks cool though. I mean, that shot with the Galactica and it coming, you know, this little shuttle coming towards your face, is a beautiful shot. It's a beautiful painting, or looks like a painting. I don't know what that ship is.
Anyway.
My last comment on this is the whole Athena thing, Boomer.
Okay.
Crying in the Callie's the one that kind of smacks her around and stuff to get her to snap out of it. I don't know. That scene didn't work for me.
No, didn't mean it. It seemed kind of useless. That's why I completely skipped all of that. I mean, well, I did talk about the fact that she was talking to Lee and she wanted to basically give herself up to avoid all this. So I did mention that part, but then it kept going. And that whole part I didn't care about. It was irrelevant.
Yeah. And then spoiler, we don't see her again in the rest of the series. This is her last scene.
Her swan song. Okay.
So anyways, I just thought that was weird. All right. That's my last comment. You got anything else?
I want you bring up Athena, and that's a good one. Because in TOS, there was a Boomer and he was a guy. And then there was an Athena, and that was a girl. And Athena was the sister of Apollo.
Right.
And I didn't realize that they kind of merged them and made her a Cylon. I knew the Boomer because they always called her Boomer. But I don't remember in the reboot series them calling her Athena. But I'm sure they did. But I just never put it together until this book series.
I'll be honest, I didn't either. Not until I was writing the synopsis, I was just like, oh, wait. Athena and Boomer are the same person? You know?
Right. Exactly. I felt the same way. I felt the same way.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't catch that when we were watching it originally.
Right. Okay, I want to mention one thing real quick, and I'm done with this one, which is who knocked out Kane inside of that planet where Kane first came upon Callie Lizard Lady. Kane recognized who did it.
Right.
Kane recognized who the person was, so we thought it was the pilot. And then it did show a drawing of a very angry looking guy. That had a brown jacket on. It had a striped shirt on, but it wasn't, it didn't look like it was a uniform. It didn't look like it was a colony's colonial warrior uniform. And like, who is that guy? And I was joking, he looks a little bit like an angry Kent McCord. But it would make a lot of sense if it was Iblis. I think, because he would have recognized Iblis. Or was it Baltar?
Why Baltar would he doesn't recognize dress like Iblis?
That. Because he's the devil.
Okay.
Well, he's the devil, right?
So you would recognize the devil if you saw him?
Well, I have the feeling we don't have quite the same relationship with their devil, with our devil as with their devil, or their version of the devil.
I don't get what you're saying. I mean, nobody on the Galactica recognized him as the devil when they brought him on the ship and all that stuff. So why would?
But they figured it out.
Eventually, but why would Kane recognize him?
Then who was it?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm looking at issue number one, and it still, to me, looks like, I don't know. Who are you saying?
Kent McCord.
And who is he?
That's a joke. Okay.
No, who is Kent McCord? I'm assuming it's an actor, right?
He was in Adam 12. He was one of the cops. And he was also the adult version of Boxy, who was in the Galactica, the 1980s. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember when we did this a couple of episodes ago, I kept saying he looked like Bruce Campbell, but now I'm looking
Bruce Campbell. Yeah.
But now that I'm looking at it again, it looks like the older guy on Greatest American Hero. Remember that guy? The one that was working
You're saying it's Robert Culp?
It looks like Robert Culp.
Oh. Yeah, a bit. It looks a little beefier than Robert Culp, but yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways. No.
Anyway, I don't know who that
definitely
is.
Definitely not Iblis.
But.
So I don't know. I don't think it's
Iblis. Well, no, he definitely is not dressed as Iblis. And his hair is not the same as Iblis.
Right.
But who the hell is he? I think if it's Baltar, that would make some sense, right?
At least that would bring him into the story, yeah. But that's definitely not Baltar either.
Well, who knows the way these people are drawing people?
Yeah, that's the bad thing. We just don't know. Is it a bad drawing or is it supposed to be somebody?
I don't know. But,
but
as we'll find out the last issue, there is a connection between Iblis and Baltar. And if they're connected, then Callie is connected with Baltar too. Odds are.
Okay.
So, all right. So it's a mystery. It's a mystery. That's it.
All right. Ready for the last one?
Let's do it.
All right. So Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica, issue number 6, June 2018 by Dynamite Comics. Lots of covers. Cover A is by Adam Leibowitz, and it shows the three Battlestars kind of flying towards the reader, shooting at your face, and then we see some of the rebooted Cylon Raiders heading towards it. And then cover B is by Johnny Desjardins, and it shows Iblis and Callie standing over a couple of the Colonials, and one of them is definitely supposed to be the Lloyd Bridges Kane because he has the shoulder pads and stuff. All right, cover C is the great action figure versions. This is by Michael Adams. And this month's action figure is Apollo. So we get the 1978 Apollo. And instead of being in his Viper uniform, he's wearing like Hoth gear, snow gear kind of thing. And then the reboot version is just in a regular uniform. Doesn't really look like the actor to me.
He does not look like Jamie Bamber at all.
Yeah, it's kind of bad because it's like the first one where I couldn't really, if I just looked at that action figure, I would not be able to tell you who it was.
Exactly.
And I haven't had that problem with the other action figure covers. Yeah. All right, cover B is by Roberto Castro, and it shows the two Apollos kind of just looking at us. Cover E is a black and white version of that exact same cover. Cover F is the black and white version of the Johnny Desjardins version of Callie and Iblis standing over him. And then the last one, cover G, is the virgin cover of the great Battlestars coming at your face, firing at the Cylon Raiders, just without any of the title cards or UPC symbols or anything. All right, so we get the story starts with Blonde Adama, who's supposed to be Commander Kane, but he's on the Pegasus and he's watching the Viper fight on his screens and he's wondering why none of the ships are actually hitting each other. And then in like almost like a Wayne's World type flashback scene, we find out that earlier the two Adamas have met and they came up with this idea to have a pretend fight with each other to try to flush out whatever other plan is afoot. So now we're back to real time, and Kane has figured out that this is some sort of trap, and he orders the Pegasus to open fire on the two Galacticas. The classic Galactica takes the brunt of the attack, but the way it's positioned, it has inadvertently blocked the reboot Galactica from returning fire on the Pegasus. Elsewhere on the Pegasus, Sheba has escaped her cell using the old kick to the nuts method of attack. even though she has a gun, she keeps going through the ship, and every time she meets up with a armed guard, she just kicks him square in the crotch. So she's truly unbeatable in this issue. So she makes her way to the bridge to her father, and she asks him, you know, is he even still there? Is he awake, is what she says. Basically trying to break through whatever brainwashing he might have. Suddenly, the bikini-clad Callie shoots her in the back and kills her. So the death of his daughter seems to snap Kane out of his brainwashing. We do get kind of like a little flashback at some point of him being brainwashed, and it looks like it's he was brainwashed by Iblis there on the hollow planet. But as he kind of snaps out of it, he ends up breaking Callie's neck and killing her forever. So Iblis then appears, and Kane punches him out, and then he orders all hands to abandon the Pegasus, and as he's doing that, Iblis's body vanishes. Meanwhile, the reboot Cylons show up in their giant base star, and when they show up, the Vipers, who are pretending to be shooting at each other, all turn tail and start attacking the base star directly. Iblis shows up on the base star and tells the skin chobs there that he's going to open up another wormhole, and this will draw away the classic Battlestar Galactica and all the ships, including the Vipers. And then all they'll have to worry about is the reboot fleet. So the Viper attack on the base star is actually kind of short-lived, because suddenly the Pegasus is heading towards the base star on a collision course. Kane plows his Battlestar straight into it, and he and his daughter are instantly atomized along with all the other Cylons. The classic Battlestar and its fleet return to their universe via the wormhole, and everything is set back to right. Later, the reboot crew is at the bar, kind of recapping the events, and wondering if the classic Battlestar era was their possible future or a possible past. And they quote the old saying, "This has happened before and will happen again." While this is going on, there's a man sitting alone at one of the tables mumbling to himself. I'm to assume that this is the classic Battlestar. This is the classic Baltar, who somehow was left in the reboot universe. And somehow he was saved from the explosions of the Pegasus and everything else. And then we get a shot of Iblis floating dead in space, and then suddenly he opens his eyes, he smiles, and he says, "Wonderful." The end.
Now that at the same time looks like Patrick McNee, very much so, and Liberace, and the evil look in his eyes and that smile is very Iblis. I like that, the last panel.
Yeah.
Now, exactly, I mean, obviously they want to give you the idea of, oh, he's still alive and he can come back, no problem, and, right, and cause problems if Peter David decided to do another series. Right. And who knows, maybe he did, I don't know, but and use this guy. And he could use Baltar. But, I mean, he says wonderful. He's floating in space. I mean, how is it wonderful?
I don't know. How does he teleport? He never had that power before. And now he can just, like, beam himself from place to place?
Okay, so you watched the episode.
Right.
So he wasn't, like, moving. He wasn't able to teleport himself.
I only watched the first episode. I hadn't watched the second part yet, but he's able to like move things with his mind and he's able to influence people, but he hadn't teleported yet.
Okay. Well, I didn't know he could do that either until this, these issues. So who knows?
I mean, here he kind of seemed like Q, right? I mean, so he was just like blinking away from place to place, you know, and you know, he blinked from the base star to the Pegasus, back to the base star, and now he's in space, and I guess he's going
right
to blink himself somewhere, but
right,
he didn't seem to have Q powers in the old show. Yeah. But I guess if he's the devil, then I guess he would.
He's got some powers, man.
More powers than they've shown.
Right.
Go ahead.
I just want to mention that Baltar is talking to himself while he's having the drinks, right?
Right.
And he's saying, "Come with me, Baltar. It'll be exciting, Baltar. You can watch the final extinction of the human race, Baltar."
Oh, I guess that definitely confirms he's Baltar. He looks nothing like Baltar.
The point, yeah, that confirms that's who he is. But absolutely, Count Iblis. That sounds very exciting, Count Iblis. So, and then he toasts to Count Iblis.
Right.
So it's clear that he is in this because of Count Iblis. Count Iblis got him into all this. Why exactly, I don't know. But he did it. They were matched up. And I think it's very possible that that's Baltar that knocked out Kane. And he was with Callie when they first were brought into the story.
And I guess Kane would know who Baltar was for that, because Baltar was on the Cylon planet that the Pegasus was trying to attack in his episodes. So I guess he would have recognized Baltar.
Yeah, well, Baltar was in the government. Like he was in he I think everybody who's in the colonies would know who Baltar was.
Right.
Even if they don't know him personally, because he was a high-ranking politician.
Right. But I'm saying he would have also known that Baltar worked for the Cylons at that point.
Oh, yeah. He should. He should. Yeah.
Right.
I would think so.
So, yeah, if that great chinned guy is supposed to be Baltar in issue one, that would make a little bit more sense than.
If chins could speak.
But again, that guy in issue one is super fit, and the guy who played Baltar wasn't. He was kind of just
he's stereotypical, just a normal,
evil guy.
Evil,
the gangster guy, the guy that's just like calling the shards. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very one dimensional.
It's evil. Yeah, evil. And it's really funny. For some reason, he always reminded me of Kor. I don't know why.
Oh, he played Kor?
Yeah. John Kalikos. He was Kor.
Okay.
Huh. And he was one of the bad guys in the Omega Man, the Charlton Heston movie. He kept on popping up as he always played villains typically. And did very well at it.
Now, Omega Man is a adaptation of I Am Legend, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the
book. I've never seen it.
Right. You haven't seen the original one?
No, never.
You saw the
Will Smith one, yeah.
Okay. Well, the original one is worth watching too. It's pretty good. Okay, so at the end of this issue, where is everybody? The Taws Galactica with her fleet are back in their own dimension or time frame, whatever. The Reboot Galactica and fleet.
Yeah, we hope. They just randomly went into the wormhole, which I thought was a little weird. It's like, how do you know that's going to take you back home?
Well, and it kind of sucked them. Didn't it kind of sort of suck them back in or something?
I don't know. I took it that they just went. Like, they're like, oh, we got a wormhole. Break off the attack. Okay. Yeah, it was weird. It was so abrupt.
Oh, whatever.
Everything was so abrupt there at the end.
It's abrupt. And yes, I'm assuming, but come on, they're back to where they started from.
Right. I don't know. I kind of was like, okay, is this Peter David's way of saying this happened after season one and before Galactica 1980? So maybe this is how they end up closer to Earth and going to make it. Or do you think they got back to the exact same spot they left?
Well, I would think that they're no closer to Earth, but did they go exactly to the same spot where they left? I really don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But it's wishful thinking to think that they're closer to Earth now. But maybe. I didn't even think about that.
Well, we know they make it in 1980.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And but we know that Sheba's not there, so at least this explains what happened to her character in between the two seasons.
There you go. There are a lot of characters that are not there anymore.
Right. At least, like Starbuck, they explain where he went. Do they explain where Apollo goes? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't remember. That TV show, that 1980 Galactica show?
Right.
I saw that once when it was first broadcast because I liked the original show, and I never saw it again.
Yeah, I've only seen random episodes. I've never watched the whole thing. Yeah.
But what did they say? So you remember what they said about Starbuck?
They have an episode where he's actually in it. They have a flashback episode to kind of explain where he goes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think he hooks up with a lady and ends up on staying on a planet.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the Reboot Galactican Fleet are where they've always been in their own dimension and time frame, and they're wondering about which Galactica came first. Okay, fine.
Right. I thought that was cool.
And then Kane broke Callie's neck. Cool. And so apparently her body blew to bits along with Kane and Sheba when Pegasus went up. And then the Pegasus crew that were able to abandon ship. Remember, Kane said, abandon ship.
Right.
Okay. So all those people abandoned ship. Now, where did those people go?
Oh, did they make it to the Reboot Galactica? I just assumed they went to the Classic Galactica, but could they have gotten there before they started getting stuck through the wormhole?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, good point. I didn't even think about that.
So I'm kind of wondering where they ended up. Were they able to get with the Taws, their own people, or at least their own time frame dimension people, or did they have to get to the Reboot fleet?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
I just wonder about that.
I just assumed, okay, they made it to the Taz Galactica, and that explains why, you know, there's different people in the 1980. I was really seeing this as like a bridge between the first season and the second season of the classic show.
Okay, maybe it was. But
yeah, good point. Yeah, don't know.
Okay, so we got Taz Count Baltar is in the Reboot Galactica. He's actually on the ship. And then Iblis is in the Reboot dimension / time frame.
Floating around in space.
Floating around in space. So, and then, okay, I was kind of wondering. So after Kane slugged him on Pegasus, Iblis, Iblis left Pegasus, and that's the last time we saw him, I think.
No, he shows up on the base star.
Oh, okay. So he ends up on the base star, and they were all destroyed. So he must have left the base star before it blew up. But where could he go? He ends up rematerializing in open space.
Right.
Huh. Okay. Well, and then I think I mentioned it before, you know, it's Baltar Iblis making mischief in the sequel, in the Reboot universe, without the Taws folks.
Yeah, if they make a sequel, which I don't think
which they probably didn't. But I'm saying I think definitely a good writer is going to always leave himself open for new future work.
Right. Yeah, and I did look up like the reviews of this miniseries, and nobody leaving the reviews were talking about the weird cast changes of the actors, as far as the artwork goes. Yeah. Nobody mentioned it at all. And I was just like, how do you not mention it? It's so jarring.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So I didn't mention it in the synopsis, but in that flashback where the two Adamas meet, they're the same person.
It's worse. It's Edward than James Olmos seen before.
Talking to Edward James Olmos. Just one has glasses and the other one has a cape. I mean, aside from that, it's so bad.
Okay. It is. It's bad. Okay, so they won't differentiate the Vipers. They won't differentiate the Adamas. They relegate the image of Lauren Green to being Kane now. It's like, what the heck? They drew Iblis right, especially at the end.
Yeah.
And there were some things where there were some panels where they did Apollo really well. He really does look like Richard Hatch. Okay. So in this last issue,
I agree with you on that one.
Right. There are a few panels spot on. And as far as you brought up how how Sheba keeps on kicking guards in the nuts.
Yeah, well, what's up with that? She had a gun.
What I wanted to see is, after doing that to two guards, I wanted to see her run into a female guard and then get ready to kick again. It's like, oh, that won't work.
It would still hurt. I think it would still work. Enough. I'm pretty sure it would still work.
No, not the same. Anyway, I think that would be funny.
It would have been funny, but... Yeah, but it was so weird. It's just like, it just felt like one of those weird, like, Saturday Night Live skits where you just, like, walking around kicking people in the nards and walk to the next person and kick them in the nards. It's just like, this makes no sense. You have a gun, you know, if you really wanted to get there.
Well, but look at her holster. She doesn't. So when she kicks that guard is in front of the bridge or whatever they call the bridge, she doesn't have a gun in her holster anyway. Which I don't know why she wouldn't. Why wouldn't she have grabbed a gun? Because she's not going to shoot anybody? She's not going to shoot any of her fellow, colonial warriors? I don't know.
I guess not.
Too bad they don't have a phaser set to stun. Right. I really enjoyed the page showing the Pegasus when it impacts the base star. And it just had the huge white kind of sort of letters.
Right.
What was it? BLAKOWW. Lots of W's.
Blakow.
But it looks cool. Blakow. There you go.
Right. It's one giant picture, but it's broken out into nine panels.
It looks like you're looking through a window, and the window has nine pieces of glass with a little frame. Anyway. I like the page. I just don't get what the lines are.
It's because it's a comic book. It has to have little panels. It's a show that it really took a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, it's just a cool visual.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think you're really looking through a window pane.
Well, of course not. That's what it looks like. Oh, Donovan. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm just explaining for the legion of folks that listen to the podcast that might not have the issue handy.
Yeah.
So I found the photo of Iblis, Patrick McNee as Iblis. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Edu, or however you pronounce the guy's name, or whoever the artist of this one is. It looks like that's the photo he used to draw the last panel of Iblis, where he says wonderful.
Right. Okay.
Same. The smile is the same. Of course, his eyes were red in the photo from the TV show. So he just had to put in the real eyes.
Right. So I think this is the first time we've seen this artist, you know, because they changed the artist halfway through. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is the first time we've seen this artist with the humanoid Cylons. And I know that in the previous time we saw them, we couldn't figure out who all the Cylons were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Did you think he did a better job this time? I mean, definitely. Well, I think that one guy definitely looks more like Dean Stockwell, but they have one page of them all talking to each other.
Yeah, it's like just one page, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't that much.
But at least he looks more like Dean Stockwell in this issue than he did in the previous one. It's basically what I was going to get at.
Yeah, and he's not wearing. It's clearly he's not wearing a colonial uniform. That's clear.
Right.
which is good because he was never a warrior. I mean, well, he was a preacher or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Or there were a couple models of him, I think, floating around on two different ships. And in one, he was like some kind of preacher, and I forgot what he was on the other one.
Oh, wow.
Anywho, the main point is he was never a soldier.
Right.
Unless he was an admiral. I mean,
yeah, good point.
Lots of old admirals. So, yeah, he's closer to Dean Stockwell. Yes. But still, not that close.
Right.
I mean, because Dean Stockwell was, you know, he wasn't a big guy. He wasn't a big boned guy.
Right.
And this guy looks like he's had a few.
Oh.
he's not a stranger to pot roasts.
That guy that's talking to Sarek there in the middle of that page. Timmy Isbeth is what's his Sarek. Name?
Sarek.
Isabel. What's the name of the guy? Is Liberace. To me, he looks like Sarek in that one panel, just like
Tom Sarek?
No.
Who's Sarek?
Spock's daddy.
Oh, Sarek. Oh,
Sarek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe.
It's just the robes, maybe, just always gives off that Mark Leonard vibe.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. I think maybe at the bottom right page, the head-on, face-on shot of him, maybe that's the closest thing to Dean Stockwell.
That's definitely the closest, yeah.
Yeah. And now Boomer doesn't have a uniform on now. I mean, she looks like she's got civilian clothes now.
On the Baystar, yeah.
On the Baystar.
Yep.
Okay, whatever.
So since this might be the last time we talk about Battlestar Galactica on the show, what do you think of the base stars comparing the old one and the new one? Did you think that the upgraded version was a step up or a step down? So the original base star was like two pancakes on top of each other, and this one is like two, I don't know, triangles on top of each other.
Exactly.
Which definitely gives it more of a star look.
Well, it gives it a more non-human look.
Right.
It's almost like a Borg kind of thing where it's like, oh my God, what the hell is that? That looks like no human vessel I've ever seen.
Right.
So it's very asymmetrical and very different and very unique. And quite frankly, I don't know how practical a shape like that would be, but I think it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the old ones just kind of, the base stars almost look like a space station.
Right. Yeah. Definitely like a Death Star type look where it's just like kind of two squished Death Stars kind of on top of each other.
Right. Cause it's not round. Well,
right.
It's not a ball.
No, it's not. They're, I don't know, like hamburger buns.
With a central thing between the two buns. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
I never really thought about comparing them that much, quite frankly, but
I hadn't either, but over this last week, I've been playing a Battlestar Galactica video game set in the classic era. Mm-hmm. So, and I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. The base star looks kind of cool. And then reading this book, you know, it was the different style. And I'm like, to me, they both work. I like them both. But
if I had
to pick one, I think I would go to the original.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because
it's more of the classic. That's interesting. Look. And I'm going to guess that on the good guy side, you would pick the reboot Galactica and the reboot Vipers over Taws.
Probably, yeah.
Because I think those are clearly cooler. But as far as the Cylons are concerned, I think they really went for something very different.
Right.
Very, very different designs. Very not human designs at all.
Maybe I just like that retro futuristic thing that the 70s were giving us.
Cool. Okay. Well, this was great. I enjoyed the books. It did take three episodes, but I think it was three episodes well spent.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it a lot.
So speaking of which, what are we doing next week, Donovan?
Well, we finally let Star Trek catch up with us. So we got issues of the ongoing, and we got issue of Defiant. So basically we find out what happened next on both of those storylines.
Right. So Star Trek 2022 issue 28 and Defiant issue 23.
And I'm straining my brain to try to remember what's going on. So Alexander's on his little making amends for being a bad boy with Worf.
Yep.
And then in the original in the Theseus, they're still trying to figure out how to restart the universe. They're in the negative null universe right now.
After yeah.
Lore well, wiped everything out.
Well, they okay. So I thought that I thought they entered our dimension, you know, back into our dimension. But it's already you're right. Yeah. So it's already Lore's already reset it, or at least wiped out the old version.
He's already control alt deleted the whole universe.
There you go. There you go. And we're sitting. I guess they're back in the Alpha Quadrant, maybe, but it's not that you can tell very well.
Yeah, I was gonna have no stars. You know if there's no stars.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So, yeah, so we left them. And then also the Defiant and Miles and that.
Oh, that's there.
They're what they're trying to. Oh, yeah, that's right. They were going to try to get rid of that mine.
Yep.
The replicating mines, and then a Cardassian ship came into the picture. Exactly. And there was a Section 31 ship there, too.
Right.
So we'll find out what's happening with all that.
Cool. Well, that should be good. This was a nice little hiatus, but it's good to get back into the Trek world.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us on the review.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Star Trek Comic Book Review. All Star Trek stories and characters are copyrighted CBS Studios Incorporated. All music, stories, and characters discussed are for entertainment purposes only. You can email us at startcomicbookreview@gmail.com. Visit us at our website, www.stcomicbookreview.com. Subscribe to us via iTunes or friend us on Facebook at first name, ST Comic, second name, Book Review. See you next time on Star Trek Comic Book Review.
Let's get the hell out of here.